Give us odds on it being a mass report or Hassan call. I mean, if it's a mass report, that's probably a good thing, because then I imagine it would get undone. If it's a Hassan call, I guess it, I don't know how long it'll stick, but I guess it gets it more attention at least, which is probably good. It shows movements, okay? Or it shows movement, okay? Which is good. Do you know you're getting unbanned? So the thing I said before was I think that the, I'm guessing on a lot of this, like I have a couple people that I know, but like it's a little guesswork. Well, modern stuff is guesswork. Past stuff is not guesswork. There was a person who was holding my account down. Like, it was flagged to go to this person. But the entire moderator team fucking hated me. 100%. And they're very protective of Hassan. 100%. I know these things to be factually true. You can sue me in court and I will be able to prove the truth of that claim. But I don't know how many of those people in the past are still at Twitch. It might be that a lot of them are cycled out now. So I have a friend at Twitch that was able to cycle my last appeal and reject it that I put in like a year or two ago. And then I put in another one when I said, what, like a month ago? And it's a good appeal. And I'm genuine when I do my appeal. And I think that the new mod team probably saw it, probably saw that I was banned for 4 years, probably didn't see a great reason for why I was banned for 4 years, and then hit me up with the, you know, yeah, you know, come back, try again or whatever. But then I think when Hassan saw it, my guess is he either ran to Clancy or his account manager on Cribe, is my guess, because he was putting his, he was pretty distraught for 10 or 15 minutes on his phone. But then he stopped and he looked up and he was fine. And then he, I was banned again. Why did that work on getting you banned? This is old info, so I don't know if it's still true. But how you get along with people on the platform used to be kind of a big determining factor in you getting unbanned or banned. So if Hassan is able to message Dan and say that, like, this guy leads hate brigades or is, you know, aggressive towards a lot of people on platform, like, you need to control this dude or whatever, which is a talking point started by Casey Tron, or at least I saw it from her first, and then I know Hassan has spread that. Maybe he could convince, you know, Dan Clancy to intervene or something, but... Do you not go live on purpose to test the water on Twitch? No, I'm just... I'm not even ready to go live on that platform. I have to reset all my shit. There's just... Yeah, that would have been a tomorrow thing if we did. Could it have been that the ban was for a specific number of months? Do we know this wasn't a technicality? What do you mean? My ban was for 4 years. I think I have one of the longest bans on Twitch besides Ice Poseidon, I think. I don't know if anybody else has one as long as mine. Must be a crazy ego boost to have them so scared of you. The aura is crazy. Yeah, let's go with that. Why would Hassan risk DMs coming out about getting bespoken bans against people? DMs always leak these days. With CEOs of companies? I don't think so. Nah. Apparently it was 50 months. People are speculating that was the max ban length. That doesn't make sense at all. What number is 50? In bits or in, like, not like that. That doesn't make sense at all, I don't think. You should probably delete your Twitch account if you don't have a ban. No, that's fucking retarded. That is the most retarded. Stop. The boys finale. Oh, I saw a lot of people getting mad about this. Does Twitch owe you money for people who donated bits while you were unbanned? I have no idea. Do it for the discovery. It would be awful if someone was aware of a contract between Destiny and Twitch and then took intentional steps to interfere and disrupt that contract. Well, I don't have a contract with Twitch. There's no, like, litigation here would have to be, like, very adventurous. There's no way. If they discriminated against you and it fucked up your income, isn't there a claim? Well, discrimination isn't technically a bad thing. It's depending on what you're discriminating for, right? Hamsterhawk, tier 5 sub, gifted by 10keoy26. Wow. Didn't some streamer sue Twitch and win for them banning him? I think that was Phantom Lord. I don't remember 100% what the story was there. I know he won and he got like 24k, but you could fundraise DGG for a Twitch lawsuit, bruh. No, listen, I'm not. The lawsuit arc that I will go on once this suit is over, the first one is going to be on that fucking solo fucker. And then the second one, if I do, it's going to be slightly litigious against all of the weird lies that people say about me, like Hassan. I don't know if like cease and desist or minor lawsuits there would do anything. We'll see. Maybe. We'll see. I don't know. I'm also uncomfortable in general with, like, the lawsuit era. Like, it seems to be a lot of wasted money. Like, if streamers just start, like, throwing a ton of money at lawyers to sue each other all the time, I don't know if I like that precedent, but...
Having said that...
what is this? Fuck, I didn't even watch these. I just saw the clips on LSF, and then I opened Hassan's stream, and he's like buried in his phone, and I was like, okay.
He could have just told us the truth about this from the beginning, right? He could have just said, look, the guy I hired didn't do
what
a
do
good
mean?
Job.
Did they
used AI.
Sex
it's
pestiny?
A bunch of bullshit
no,
in there, and so
not.
Like that's why
sex pest any nice.
We're not going to release it. But the most important point, and this is what everybody should be stressing, is this. Why haven't you since commissioned a real expert to do a real report?
Destiny, what do you think is more likely? Hassan calling up his boys on Twitch to Malcolm X you. Jesus. Or those snark servers immediately mass reporting you. Majority amount of unemployment to all day long. If it's a mass report, it doesn't really matter. Because a mass report, you can just appeal and it'll get overturned. So if it's a mass report, that's technically a best case scenario. Yeah. Do you think Hassan texted a higher up? The only two people Hassan would ever communicate with are Dan Clancy directly or with his, if he has an account manager, there would be anybody else.
Because there's a real report to be made about what happened, right?
You could go for an adventurous tort case. Those drag out for long and would possibly generate content. Yeah, but if I want to get unbanned on Twitch, I don't want it to be like a hostile adversarial relationship where like, I'm going to fucking sue you. Like, that's like the worst way to approach it, right?
There's a real report that, for example, centers Gaza.
I know the mod team is super pro Hassan, but is Clancy personally? Well, I don't know. Is he?
Happy birthday to you.
What the fuck?
Happy birthday to you.
Bro, we're never beating the Hassan runs Twitch allegations after this.
Centers Biden's failure on foreign policy, which led to a depressed base, which led to reduced turnout.
Right? They did? He doesn't know? They did? Twitch did?
It's just so crazy how that one, is it, what is that guy's name? Hummus Alberto? That's not it. The guy who writes the fucking, the 6-7 versions of fascism or whatever. That one point of like, your enemy is simultaneously, you know, weak and ineffective, but also like, is the boogeyman that controls everything at all points in time. It's very funny how much he says over and over again that I'm so irrelevant, he doesn't care, whatever. And then as soon as I'm, now it's like the fucking nightmare scenario. He's like, wait, what? What?
That's insane. But, I mean, Twitch is in the fucking pooper anyway. So who gives a fuck? Whatever. Let's continue.
There's a lot more to say about this. There's a lot to say about inflation. There's a lot to say about Biden's age. There's a lot to say.
Twitch was like, we have to get this sex pest who's written manifestos on being able to say the N-word back on the platform, please.
About doing the switch without actually having a process and, you know, having, you know, an open DNC where they you could have actually had something at least relatively more democratic than what we had where they picked Kamala. There's
why is Hassan more nervous sounding when you get unbanned compared to when he learned Charlie Kirk died? Because Hassan will never be targeted by anybody because he's not a threat to anybody besides the center left. That's why. Not that anybody should target anybody for assassination or anything like that, of course. Qualify.
A lot of stuff to talk about here, right?
Oh, shit. Is he going to go hurt Kaya?
Right. And nobody's talking about those things. So he should have commissioned a new report, and he should have commissioned an actual expert.
Wow, Stoogey. Nice. Tier 5 gift?
To do their job right. And then we could be having a real discussion now about what actually went down. But instead, you know, it's just, it's too perfect. It shows the incompetence of the people who work at the DNC. It also shows that they're liars who, you know, covered their tracks every step of
the way. By the way, what did I say? It doesn't technically prove my point, but I did say no matter what happens when this autopsy is released, everybody will complain about it. It's already completely fucked. Just letting you know, but
the way, instead of just telling the truth here. And it shows this hellscape of AI that's taking over where work is going to get more and more dreadful. And, you know, we stray further and further from the light of God. So crazy stuff here, man. But DNC autopsy has been officially released. It's an absolute mess. There's I mean, somebody was saying it appears like it's 192 pages. It appears like there's factual errors almost on every single page. Factual errors.
He doesn't talk about the unban anymore. What do you mean? He talks about it right now. Don't you see him?
And it's like, come on, man. This should be massive. It's incompetent.
Mark Raymond told travel executives over as well. How are you watching?
He sent the text. He's waiting for Dan to respond.
On the other
hand,
politics. And so I like read his statement and read his Substack and then looked at the report. Like, you know, he really don't. Still at the end. Right. This everyone
ready and yeah, mute 50 exactly sports fans.
When do I get rebound? That we
3K seeing 100,000 offers of pre-K and 3K to New Yorkers across the five boroughs. This was part of our announcement that we were adding 2,000 new 3K seats. Now, as part of these invitations that we are sending out to children across the city to be a part of this program, to their parents, we were also really proud of the investments we were actually able to make into these systems, which means that this time around, we saw that 85% of families received one of their...
I also like how fucking nervous Hassan is, ignoring my stuff here, that like, I know, I still read this guy, okay? I can just tell you everything that's going on in this guy's brain, okay? He has to stream on top of Mamdani to watch him because he's petrified that Mamdani could stream on Twitch and then outdo him in viewers, or some of his viewers would go to Mamdani, because he has to make the argument to that campaign that Hassan is an essential part of them being on Twitch, and dwarfing them in viewers would go to that. Guaranteed. Otherwise, damn, how are you going to just fucking stream and watch and rebroadcast right on top of this dude? Sheesh!
Top three 3K choice.
Wait, somebody said I was already rebanned at this point. Is that true? I don't know what the timestamp is. Sorry.
And what we saw is that the average commute for families, we cut that by 6 blocks. Now, 6 blocks may not sound like a lot to you and me, but if you're walking with a toddler, 6 blocks
as soon as he
is
smiles.
Quite a bit of time. So we're very, very excited about this, because we don't just want universal childcare to be something that's remarkable because of the fact that everyone can access it on a technical level. We also want it to be something that is easy for New Yorkers to be a part of, something that is in their own neighborhoods, something that they can look at and marvel at the quality of the instruction and say, this is a program that I want my 3-year-old, my 4-year-old, and this summer will start for the first time ever for your 2-year-olds as well with 2K. Now, the other thing that I wanted to flag for New Yorkers directly is that there are a number of New Yorkers who are at risk of losing their SNAP benefits. Now, this is going to start on June 1st due to new federal work requirements. In New York City, the group that is facing the highest risk of losing these SNAP benefits are 18 to 24-year-old men. So you are at highest risk if you are between the ages of 18 and 64 years of age, if you do not have or live with a child who is under the age of 14, and if you do not have a medical exemption from work. This is one of the reasons why we want to communicate directly to New Yorkers about the fact that here is a moment where your SNAP benefits may be at risk, and we're looking to make sure that we're doing everything we can to ensure that you can keep living in this city, that you can keep considering this city to actually be your home. Now, I've gone through a number of the things that we've been working through this week, and as you know, this is the first time that I've ever streamed or whatever it is that we would describe this as. So I wanted to make sure that we actually brought somebody on who was a little bit more fluent in the language of streaming and Twitch.
Wait, was that it? Wait, holy shit, no shot. I thought this would be some subtle fucking mind-reading shit. Wait, was that?
Considering this city to actually be your home. Now, I've gone through a number of the things that we've been working through this week, and as you know, this is the first time that I've ever streamed or whatever it is that we would describe this as. So I wanted to make sure that we actually brought somebody on who was a little bit more fluent in the language of streaming and Twitch and everything else that comes with it. So please join me in welcoming New York City's very own Moose.
The next minute or two is him glowing.
How you doing, my man?
Thank you for having me, man. Thank you for having me. Chat, what's up? So that's chat right there. You know what I mean?
Chat.
So when you're talking to them, you got to refer them as chat, not like ladies and gentlemen.
Damn. I do. This is going to be my... I need cocaine or something, bro. I need to go on my fucking... What is the opposite of humility? My ego arc, okay? Because I want to say, I can't believe he's so fucking pressed about me. What the fuck? How is he so, like... Oh my God. Thank God. Thank God he's still banned. But I know why. It's because... It's... Bro, I don't know if fucking... I'm psychotic. I know I'm experiencing psychosis. We're going to go back to that World War II book. This is Poland right now. You understand that, right? That Twitch is Poland? And we've got, like, the fucking Molotov-Ribbentrop shit going on, like, right here? Where you've got Hassan on his side and Asmongold on the other side, and America's about to enter the war, like, fucking 5 years early? I don't know when we enter World War II compared to fucking Poland being split up. But, like, that's, like, what Hassan's like, oh, God. Oh, Jesus Christ.
No, man. All the politics stuff aside.
There's no way it was 5 years. It's got to be shorter than that, right?
You got to have that swag. So it was like, chat, you know.
So it's like, what's going on, chat?
What's going on, chat? You know what I mean? So that's step one. Step two.
Okay.
What's actually cool about you being a Twitch live streamer now is you can communicate with the people and talk to the people one-on-one, which I love. So it gives them that one-on-one connection with you. And we can answer the people's questions straight off the bat.
Well, I actually got a question for you first.
Okay.
When was the first time that you streamed? Is that how you described it?
Yeah, streamed.
Streamed.
Yeah, right. So streaming started to become popular, I would say, about a year ago.
Okay.
So
I'm Polish, and it's fucking offensive, brother. What I just said? You want to see some real Polish hate? Damn, this is 2 years old, even.
That Russia and China have quietly infiltrated parts of our infrastructure systems. They haven't done anything with that. But
bro, the only country that unironically takes a fat W in all of this is Poland, because they don't know how to use computers. Like, there's only one computer in the country, and many people don't even know how to use it. So therefore, they are so not susceptible to cyber warfare. It's kind of crazy when you think about it. So who's the real winner in this global cyber war after all? That's right. Kurwa, Poland.
They're probably there. At least that's what a lot of analysts and experts think. And that we have probably done the same to them. And that we're all just sitting there with our little time bombs put in.
Poland has one computer and it's running at all times. And it's actually running to make the CD the next.
I think it was a clip compilation of this. But if you didn't know, for the Marxist-Leninist types, for the ML types, people hate Eastern Europe. Is it a tanky thing to hate Poles? Yes. Remember, ML types, the idea is that World War II was basically solo won by the Soviets. And you know this because they suicided most people. Okay. America kind of sort of helped, but not really. But the Soviets did all the work. And a lot of the evil Eastern European people were like working with Nazis because they were trying to fend off the Soviet heroes that were trying to lead Europe into salvation. So obviously, if you were an Eastern European country and you had to live in the Soviet bloc, you fucking hated it. There's a reason why when the Soviet Union collapsed, all of them left and nobody wanted to go back. So these guys fucking hate Eastern Europeans. They fucking hate them. They hate them. But that's where that attitude comes from. Right, here is a compilation video. 42 seconds.
This is a phenomenally rare Polish W, okay? Like, unimaginably rare. I mean, he's Polish, so obviously he doesn't know how to do math, so that's probably why that happened. Speaking of very stupid, Poland. A Polish man figured out how to work a fire extinguisher? You're really gonna fucking act like that's not impressive? Come on. The only country that unironically takes a fat W in all of this is Poland, because they don't know how to use computers. Like, there's only one computer in the country, and many people don't even know how to use it. So therefore, they are so not susceptible to cyber warfare. It's kind of crazy when you think about
it. I want to ask a question without everyone getting mad. Why has Russia been evil for like 200 years? I know that's overly simple, but you get what I mean. So I think the big issue is that there's two things at play here, okay, that triggers everybody. The first is that America is just a better country than maybe every country. We are the best country. We are. We just are. Okay? However, that has nothing to do with America as being like a good people or whatever the fuck else. It was just like, imagine everybody's been playing an RPG for, I don't know, 5,000, 10,000 years, and all of a sudden you get the opportunity to take everything you've learned, all of your levels and everything, and you get to re-roll that in a brand new map with nobody else really to contest your dominance of it. You get to take all of the lessons from democracy, from Roman Greece. You get to take all of the lessons in revolution and war from across Europe. You get to take all the lessons from the legal systems and the concept of the Magna Carta and common law throughout all of England. And you get to apply all of that to build a new country. And then you get to conquer an entire continent where you have like no rush, you know, 20 years because people can't sail fucking aircraft carriers across the ocean or whatever. Like, America just had the ability, like, our geography is just such a benefit. So we got to say, fuck the rest of the world, because people aren't constantly here. We don't have the messy history that Europeans have, right? We, for better or for worse, we're all Americans. It's not like we're all looking at each other with thousands of years of animosity towards each other. And then our distance from everybody else, the fact that we're not getting fucked up massively in like these world wars, it just has benefited America so much. So we have this massive advantage over the rest of the world, largely unearned, I think is fair to say. And then we've done decently with it. But when you say that like Russia has been evil for 200 years, like, I don't know if there's a single evil country or a country that's been evil ever, you know? Like, I'm sure, I don't know fuck all that much about Russian history, so hopefully I'm not completely wrong. But my guess is the czars and the not Imperial Russia, the the monarchy in Russia. What's the word I'm looking for? But before that, what Lenin and all them fucking overthrew probably were genuinely shitty people, right? The czarists or whatever, probably suck shit. That revolution was probably something that I imagine the common man in Russia probably wanted. And then them trying to build whatever fucking thing that came next was probably what they thought was their idea of the next best thing. And then fucking this is like the story of like most countries. It's very rare that a country is like, we're just going to be evil right now. Like, usually people have reasons. Again, I don't know fuck all about Russian history, but that would be my that would be my rough guess. The Tsar was much better than his supporters. Isn't there like a, I don't know if it comes from that, but isn't there like a saying for that? What am I thinking of? Isn't there like a saying in, is it in Russian or is it something else where it's like, it's not the leader, it's his right-hand man or whatever. What am I thinking of? Oh yeah. No bad Tsar, only bad boyars. Essentially that's what that means, right? Like the leader is not bad, it's just the people around him or something. This is a Russian phrase referring to a political phenomenon in which positive actions taken by the government are viewed as the result of the leader, while negative actions taken by the government are viewed as being caused by lower-level bureaucrats unbeknownst to the leader. Originating from the Russian Empire, the term has since been used to refer to the leaders of the Soviet Union and post-Soviet Russia Federation, particularly during the rule of Vladimir Putin. That's the excuse a lot of Republican senators give for Trump. They never say Trump made a bad decision or is bad. They always say that he's been given bad advice or something. Sure. Is there a compilation of all the things Asmongold has said on Twitch and not been banned for? You should play that. Well, the problem is that, like, there's movement. Just chill. We'll just wait and see what happens. Movement is good. There's motion. Motion is good. How can anything you say be labeled extremely hateful conduct when Asmongold is not banned on their platform? Yeah, but I feel like if you were to push on that lever the most, then the only thing they would do is they would just ban Asmongold, which is probably the worst case scenario. Is it 100% confirmed it was due to your comment regarding that trans person that got you banned? I mean, there's no like official Twitch confirmation, and they never really linked a clip, but I believe that there was something in the, I don't know if it was a Twitch data leak or something, that showed there was a mark on my account, and that it was for that. I think there was even a comment there saying that it probably wasn't super serious, but like it was still a bad comment or something. I don't know, I'd have to go and see it. It is kind of crazy if you consider what I was permabanned for, given my history on the platform. And then given what's okay there, but yeah, it's probably more just that's the paperwork, the excuse that they give or whatever. Yeah, I think this was supposed to be the clip. Warning, this is pretty crazy. Okay, I do totally and completely disavow what I said here. And if you are a trans person, I am very apologetic, okay? I was super out of pocket with this, okay? Your one-on-one voice trans debates lately have gone well, don't cancel. It's just not worth it. What an ironic comment I made too. Your one-on-one voice trans debates lately have gone well. Don't cancel. It's just not worth it. That community is never worth engaging with. There's just no point in doing it. Like, it's too, the risk of me, like, ending up getting, like, permabanned and my life destroyed because of these, like, inbred fucking disgusting losers is, like, it's just not worth it. It's just totally not worth it. I'm so sorry. I don't know what I was thinking. Do you actually disavow this? No, because it's pretty obvious if you listen to the stream. What I'm talking about is the crazy, like, crazy activist trans community on Twitter that was targeting me. I'm still not actually sure what for. It was, I have to go back and check, but there was that guy, he was in Hutch's stream, right? The one that was crying for Hutch not to talk to me. And then he told Keffels that I was shit-talking her, and I'd never even heard of her before. Like, not like trying to lil bro anybody or anything, but like, I'd never had any interaction with her. And then they started shit-talking me, and then I think I saw it, and I made a comment. And this was around the time that I was arguing a lot of the transport stuff because I'm sorry, I still have this position. Like, the whole idea of like trans and cis athletes playing together is just fucking stupid. Past like the high school level, this is a stupid just perspective to have. But that was a lot of my debates back then. And then I had so many crazy debates. I think the worst thing was that, what was the craziest one I had? Somebody was trying to convince me that like men and women on average didn't even have that big of a difference in like average strength or something, or when you average it at all, it was about that. The claims made were, it was just a wild time. Okay, it was a wild time on Twitch to debate trans stuff. Jesus. Do you think this was used as an excuse around the time slash when do you think it became a convenient point to keep you from the platform? So, I mean, the things that I know are that Hassan really doesn't like me to share space with him. I'm super, super, super threatening to this guy. And that's come out now multiple times, so that's not a conspiracy for me to say that. I think Ethan admitted as much when Hassan left the show that you could never mention me by name. I think a few people have said that he's been on their show, or people that have come into his room for stream have said, like, oh, the guy that I can't mention or whatever, right? So, like, he tells people this. And then after the Rittenhouse thing, I think especially Twitch was trying to, like, mark me for deletion. I think that's why they unpartnered me, because once you're unpartnered, my guess is you probably lose all legal claim to, like, litigation, like what Phantom Lord did. That's my guess. I feel like there was another tweet for this, but I don't remember. You guys wanted some evidence on the Destiny thing? Here you go, slightly redacted. Oh my god. Handling any suspension appeals. Oh, this is a certain Twitch employee. Handling any suspension appeals for this enforcement. All of my suspension appeals went right to this person. Although I don't think this person works there anymore. But that's okay. We'll just chillax. I remember this. Stop. Okay. Clancy addresses the Destiny. Locked post. Too many off-topic comments. How do I... can I see, like, the stream it came from? Or do I just have to look at this? Okay, hold on. I'm trying to get my tears ready.
There have been a number of questions on the Destiny...
that's me.
...thing. A human made an error in terms of the unbanning. It was...
Uh-oh. Somebody getting fired? Oh my god! Do you know what we're watching right now?
What?
Pokemon. Do you remember when they released that statement about how, like, they're not gonna show the Hassan?
Oh,
yeah, and they're like,
the Hassan thing.
Yeah.
It is Hassan too!
Yeah, true! True! Somebody wasn't supposed to release that.
Holy! It's Big Hassan!
Hold on. Does anybody have the timestamp in this VOD where he starts talking about it? Oh my god, look at the linkers.
Holy.
There have been a number of questions on the Destiny thing. A human made an error in terms of the unbanning. It was quickly detected and corrected.
Detected? By what?
It's a highlight that many people don't realize. There are humans doing things. Humans sometimes make mistakes. Luckily, we were able to quickly detect this. So this was not something that was intentional. We detected it quickly and fixed it.
Yeah, I like how they're talking about me like I'm a fucking virus, like I'm Aged Smith. It's like we were able to detect the anomaly and we quashed it immediately.
Very sorry about any of the confusion that was driven by that. Let me just see.
Jesus, I'm like the fucking most persecuted man on the planet. What the fuck? Do you have a special Destiny sensor?
Yeah, it's called Hassan fucking
DMing. Yeah, so... I see this. I always check in someone I follow if their viewership is higher than normal. So I feel like bots would impact it heavily if someone's viewership is over the norm. Again, viewers tend to watch the creators that they like. We've looked at.
Trigon, thank you for 5 tier 1 subs. Thank you. I am obsessed.
That's my chat husband.
What was this?
But I'm not going to answer questions about individual streamers and their status, okay? In general, we do not talk about any specific streamers, any specific decisions, whether it's a ban or not a ban.
Is that true? Am I making this up? Or I thought when Dan Clancy came back, I thought one of the things that he did that was so new was he talked specifically about, like, Sneeko and specifically about Aiden Ross and specifically about... Am I making that up? I thought he was, like, explicitly and specifically talking about... Dude, I can't believe even Hassan told him you can't mention Destiny. Don't bring up the name. Don't mention him. Just don't bring his name up. I'm literally fucking Voldemort to these people. Holy shit.
We've got Arabwan, we've got Bruce and the crew. That sounds like a whole team there hanging out. We got Not So Bad of a Scab. Now there's a name. Well, and we have...
I'm not going to go through all of his names. I feel like I remember him bringing up, like... Because they had a huge thing where they were literally unbanning everybody. Because they wanted to bring back some of the larger creators that they had banned, and they realized they'd fucked up, especially with Speed.
How's your relationship with Aiden?
Literally never talked about it.
I mean, I don't want to put you on the spot, but
I won't give you an answer about my favorite streamer. I was this secret.
Yeah, a long time ago. Speed was kind of
what did he do?
He was an edgy, racist kind of dude. He was like a young, like, was he 16 or 17 when he started streaming?
He's still young. Like, he's still like 22. Like,
he just did shitty shit, but like, young man, shitty shit. But yeah, they fucked up hard when they banned him. Wait, one second.
That, you know, Val and Ludwig and Lily. Actually, Speed, it wasn't with Speed. Speed was different. He had gotten, Speed's a different story. But with Lily Pichu, Tim the Tapman. So that approach isn't the first time that approach is. Mixer used that with us with, what's we got, Ninja and Shroud. And so this approach of go ahead and try to sign Twitch streamers and get them, and we're gonna, and you're going to pay them where you lose money on them streaming on your platform with the idea that it'll grow your platform. Okay. What we've seen, and again, this is not, this is the fourth entity to use this approach.
This isn't really, I'm talking about bans. I swear to God, he talked about unbanning people and talked about giving second chance. I feel like I saw Sneego tweeting out like clips of this on Twitter, but maybe I hallucinated this. I can't find it right now. What is this? Him answering my question. Cipher.
Hi, Dan. Can you talk about how ban length is determined for creators? It seems to be extremely arbitrary. Some content creators are banned indefinitely or for years, while others who engage in the same or worse behavior get a weekend vacation. The way, in terms of how the general ban length works, there are two factors. One is the severity of the offense, and the other factor is having repeat offenses. So, in fact, sometimes if you have an offense, an offense, an offense, an offense, you eventually can lead to an indefinite suspension. We've adjusted a lot of the policies around that. Strikes expire after a period of time. So it takes pretty consistent egregious action to lead to an indefinite suspension, either by a singular action or by consistently violating the community guidelines. And so often the reason someone might be suspended for something longer is because of repeated violations. We also increase the length of a suspension based upon repeat offense of the same violation. So that's why when you look at it, you might see different lengths of suspensions.
Wow. Thank you. True.
Yeah, any update on the stream together abuse when channels are not collaborating and just joining together? Yeah, we are doing some work there because that also is an abuse where they're not meaningfully collaborating. And we have enforcement in place when we detect that, where we basically prevent them from being able to leverage the shared view count.
Well, at least I know. That's good to know.
It was a human error. Bing chilling.
Yeah. The error was that it went through. So, dude, I was so right. I told you, like, the path for all this, right? That I did that unbanned request, I think, like, 2 year. I don't know how long ago. I think it was, like, a year and a half or 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it the thing, like, sat idle for, like, a year and a half, I think. Like, nobody like, responded to it, even though they generally shoot them down within a few days or whatever. And I think it was because the person who normally denies my ban appeal, I don't think that person works at Twitch anymore.
Ooh.
And when I did my event in London, I had a person who was there who spoke to me, and they said that they worked at Twitch for like 10 years and they have a ton of contacts at Twitch. And they said that if I forwarded my ticket and everything to them, that they could have their friend just look into like what happened with the appeal. And then I went through that chain and then they denied that appeal. So it flushed it out, which was nice. And then I did another appeal. And my guess is that this time, since that one employee isn't there, they probably, when that person reset my ban appeal, they got rid of that special note on my account that it always has to go to the whatever the fuck destiny guy. And so probably the normal Twitch moderation like looked at the ban
at it,
and they were like, wow, this guy got banned 4 years ago. This is kind of crazy. And so they unbanned me. But then once Hassan saw, he started to lose his shit. He texted Dan. Dan probably texted Head of Trust and Safety. And then they rebanned the account. We banned my guess. That's what happened. Yeah.
Yeah.
But then, okay. But so that I know my, if Dan Clancy is gone, basically, assuming nobody
then
else there,
then
I, yeah, because the ordinary ban process, I would survive. I just don't right now because of Hassan and or Dan. I guess more Hassan than Dan. But why is
pretty
Hassan
crazy.
So afraid of you, Destiny? I think two reasons why I would be really bad for Hassan on that platform. One is because obviously I would be trashing Hassan now on his native platform where he's pretty safe right now. There's nobody that really challenges his kind of like lefty weirdo shit there. Asmongold stays in his corner. He stays in, and then Hassan stays in his corner. It's fine. So one is I would be more confrontational there. Not that he has to pay attention to me. But I think the second thing is I would be fighting a lot more with Asmongold. And there were times in the past, over the past year, where when I start fighting a lot with conservatives, Hassan starts to feel pretty weird about it. Like he wants to center the conversation on him again. Remember, Hassan always wants to make it appear like he's under threat and the conservatives are after him. But that's hard. That's a thing he has to fabricate because no conservative cares about Hassan. Nobody's going after him. The only time they use him is when it's a vector to attack the Democrats. Right, that's the only time his name is ever brought up. So when I'm like directly fighting with conservatives, Hassan starts to feel a little bit weird. And so if I was on Twitch, I think fighting with Asmongold a lot, I think a lot of Hassan's fan base would be like, wait, why aren't you ever talking about this dude? It would be kind of weird. That'd be my guess.
Do you appreciate Hassan, or no, sorry, not Hassan, at least Asmongold kind of like adding about your stupid ban?
I guess. Sure.
I think sometimes credit where credit's due.
I guess, yeah. Jesus Christ.
Man. It says, is it true that certain streamers...
And then it's so funny that, like, And I don't give a fuck. I don't know where Stale is. Any fucking LSF moderator. These people project so much. Any LSF moderator, anybody who's ever worked at LSF, I don't give a fuck. Leak every DM, every convo we've ever had. I have never, ever, 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 ever asked for impartial favor or anything. Like I said, I think the only ban, the only request I've ever made for a thread to be removed on LSF, I think, was when my the massive fucking revenge porn stash leaked of me from that one guy that everybody's protecting solo. When that happened, I think I DM'd the mods, and I think I said, could you like censor names of people that might be involved here? Don't let people, like, I think that's the only time I've ever directly reached out to the LSF mods. But meanwhile, it was constant. Remember, Hassan piloted this argument as well. Remember, Hassan would say all the time, the head mod of LSF is a Destiny fan. The head mod of LSF is a massive Destiny stan. The head mod of LSF is a super pro Destiny, the Stale guy, because he won, like, was it DGG of the year like 4 years ago or something?
I don't even know if he ever won DGG of the year.
Oh, fuck. Maybe I got my fucking, maybe he didn't even. But yeah, that was the rumor. And now that they've like gotten rid of that guy, now they can finally, like, we're not going to be biased for Hassan or anything, of course, but, like, they're, you know, cutting threads and shit. Hassan smiling moments after texting someone in Destiny being banned again. While this post doesn't violate our rules directly, we also recognize how it can be seen to be riding a very thin line to frame this clip in a particular way. We are allowing it to stay with a flare change. His title misleading. Okay. Dan Clancy must hate you too, right? Like, is Hassan really that big of a cash cow that he could dictate Twitch policy moderation? I'm sure he probably doesn't like me personally, probably. Maybe tied to the other Dan stuff would be my guess. I don't really know how much of that gets in front of Dan Clancy's face, but I know Hassan tells him a lot of shit. And it could also just be that, like, if you believe even half the stuff that Hassan says about me, that I have, like, coordinated hate campaigns. And it's not just Hassan, too, remember. It's all the other political streamers on that platform that are, like, active in the Twitch community also say the same things.
Denims, Mike.
Yep. I remember, I think Melina told me about this, like, was this 3 years ago? She said she felt really awkward because they were at a, I don't know if they did, it was, if it was an invitation for IRL streamers or if it was an invitation for politics streamers, but she said that she went to one of these, like, Twitch-hosted for creators thing to talk to, like, Twitch staff. And that every single person there that did politics was like a crazy lefty anti-fan. It was like Casey Tron, Denims, Frogan. I don't know if that Mike from PA guy was there, but it was all people who fucking hated me. So, yeah. So, like, if you believe these people, if, like, imagine you run a website like Twitch, and imagine everybody that does politics on your platform is telling you, this guy is Islamophobic, this guy harasses us, this guy engages in, like, crazy on and off platform, you know, destruction of our communities, and it's going to hurt and damage all of us severely. That, I, you know, from your perspective, it's like, oh, fuck, I don't know, this guy's, like, a major threat, maybe. Look at this removed thread. Oh, yeah. Well, what are you gonna do?
What do you want me to say?
What do you want me to say? It's bad.
It says, is it true that certain streamers can contact you directly to request streamers that are and have been banned to stay banned despite the platform's current mindset on bans? Absolutely not, Senshi Manny. Nobody can contact me to express their views on whether or not someone should remain banned or not.
Uh-huh. Hmm.
There have been a number of questions on the
Twitch been bugged lately. You're not banned.
Thing. A human made an error in terms of the unbanning. It was quickly detected and corrected. To highlight that many people don't realize they're humans doing things. Humans sometimes make mistakes. Luckily, we were able to quickly.
That's about Destiny.
So this was not something that was.
Wait, I was completely right.
Quickly and fixed it.
Someone left Twitch, and their last thing they did is get is unban Destiny and let him go.
Oh, no shot.
For a minute, he was freed. Wait, that's crazy. He addressed it.
I always check in someone I follow.
I applaud Dan for addressing it.
Normal. So I feel like
possibly hasn't had nothing to do with the ban, of course.
Over the norm. Again, viewers tend to watch the creators that they like. We've looked at how the variation in the chat.
How do you possibly mistake unbanning Destiny? There's no way someone mistakenly unbanned Destiny today. No way. That makes no sense. There's no way. Someone didn't mistakenly do that. It was deliberate, and they probably were losing their job anyway, and it was a last-minute thing. What do you think, Pirate? Do you think that someone, that they deliberately, they accidentally unbanned him, and then they rebanned him?
Absolutely looking at a feature that would allow a creator to decide to do that.
I think that's bullshit. I agree. There's no way.
Okay, and whether or not a creator wants to hide their view count, so.
What do you think they would do if you deleted your account and that period you're unbanned? I don't know. What do you mean? I don't understand what the point of this question is. Nothing. I would just be gone from Twitch forever then. I don't understand.
Absolutely, that's a feature that I think some creators would want to do it for
but I mean, Dan has to say that, right? Obviously, I blame Dan for having to say that or cover it up, because right, he can't say, yeah, dude, some guy did it and we fucking got rid of him. He's going to say his mistake.
You got unbanned today.
That's awesome.
You got unbanned today.
That's awesome.
Then you got rebanned.
Right away.
Right away.
Right away. What?
Yes.
Why?
What did he do?
They must have been in like an accident. So they like unbanned him on accident or something. I don't know.
I have no idea really why, because I don't even know why he got banned, but I don't, like, there's so many.
Is this on LSF?
Yes.
Like, as an individual or when you follow your LLC, it's for businesses, but if you're a streamer, you always have to have, I think, like a business thing. So basically every, yeah, I shouldn't say that, but it's pretty nice.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's all over it.
Both of them. The unbanned and the ban.
Dude. Oh, Clancy, Claire, literally top of my fucking feed. Clancy clarifies how ban length is determined. Now, this one with Destiny, it has to be personal. It just has to be.
I saw another clip.
So you think somebody purposely unbanned him to give him a little bit of, like,
no,
hope?
No, I think he got banned. Oh, I don't know about that. I think someone unbanned him because he probably should be unbanned.
Oh, okay. It was just a normal employee that looked through the file and was like, oh, yeah, this guy's been for 4 years?
And then someone was like, no, you can't do that.
Hassan.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, because, like, what do you get banned for in the first place? 4 year ban?
Well, so when he was re-banned, I think he appealed it really fast, and then they clarified, and the reason that he was banned or re-banned was, quote, extreme hate speech, or extreme hateful speech.
Clancy clarified, it sounds to me, he says it was human error.
So they shouldn't have unbanned him?
So there was someone that unbanned him that was not supposed to.
On accident or whatever.
For whatever reason, said it came down to human error is what he says.
Why not unban him and unban Ice Poseidon? And if they make a mistake, just ban him again.
Yeah. I do not know why Destiny is still banned with what everything else is going on Twitch. I really don't know.
I don't know.
He said something kind of that
true.
Was like...
But the thing is, it doesn't matter what he said, because people have said a lot of stuff and never gotten a four-year ban.
Yeah, no, none of the bans make sense now.
Again, if it's personal, fuck it. It's their website that they can do whatever they want to do. You know. But it's, for me, it's just like, and just giving them another try.
This is what I assume. This is a total assumption, but when he was banned, I'm pretty sure he had been banned on and off multiple times, and then eventually we're like, enough repeat behavior to indefinitely ban. This is what I assume. This is a total assumption, but when he was banned, I'm pretty sure he had been banned on and off multiple times.
Is this about
and
me?
Then eventually we're like, enough repeat behavior.
I feel like somebody can go back and find my ban log. I had been banned multiple times, but so many of these were so fucking stupid. Like, there was that, remember the longest ban I got, it was a 1 week ban. This is the dumbest fucking thing I've ever been banned for my entire fucking life. It was, the Twitch leaks happened, and I was reading on the other screen because I didn't want to put them on my screen because there were emails that were linked. And I think I was reading off like, oh, well, this guy says that, you know, in order to talk about a ban or something, he has to email this guy, John at Twitch or whatever, and then he does this. And I think it turns out that like the guy's email, I don't even know if I knew this or if it said it, but the guy's email is like john@twitch.tv. And so they banned me for 1 week for like doxing. And I was like, what? 1 week? I was also the first person to be banned for a lot of things on that site. So, like, I did call some guy an F-slur on League. Now, in my defense, he was a Graves Lee Sin Jungle player. But they didn't used to ban for that word, and I was the first one. And then they started to get a bunch of people after it, okay? But I feel like I streamed on that site for like 12 years. And I think I got banned like maybe five times, maybe, that I can think of. It's like, Jesus.
Sheesh. Sheesh. Sheesh.
I thought Mo was the first one. No, because I complained about Mo afterwards. But I didn't want to get him banned. I was saying like, this guy says this word all the time. What the fuck? And then instead of unbanning me, they monkey pawed and banned him. And that's when he made that Twitter video when he was like, the F word is very important to me as a gamer. I was like, what the fuck, King? Oh, man. Good times.
Behavior to indefinitely ban.
I don't know.
What I assume.
And you know, I like Morg, but I think she has about 12 bans.
Who?
Morg Pie.
Who's Morg Pie?
Dude.
Oh, true. Or, oh my God. How many bans were doled out during in the Great Coomer Wars between, it was Amaranth and Indie Fox? I feel like these guys were getting banned like crazy. Invader V is like, yeah, over 10 times. And I don't like to mention anybody's name because I don't want these people to get permabanned or anything, but. Wait, what? Glenn Greenwald versus 20 MAGA Republicans? That actually sounds interesting.
We're in a major war. Aren't we?
Wait, did you just say something or was that this video?
It's a video. We're in a major war, aren't we? In Iran?
I mean, sure, we're in a conflict.
A war? Is it a war?
We need Israel strategically.
So you're criticizing Trump for being a better businessman than Joe Biden.
Trump is not corrupted at all. We're not in a war as well.
Talking about the Biden regime, or regime, the Biden administration, we could maybe use regime.
What is your goal? Is it a pro-American dictator?
Get what?
We need you to get surrounded by 20 MAGA Republicans.
Didn't I already do that? And they spent the whole time calling me gay or something? I feel like I did this a long time ago.
Chip, like we installed previously.
My first surrounded claim is President Trump is more of a war-making president than a peacemaking president.
My next surrounded claim is President Trump is subservient to the Israel lobby. My next surrounded claim is the Trump administration has been considerably more corrupt than the Biden administration. My final surrounded...
Wait, holy shit. Wait, these are based claims. He just four.
Is bombing Iran is not in the American people's interest.
I'm Glenn Greenwald, and I'm surrounded by 20 Trump supporters. Check it out this Sunday on Jubilee.
Is it just the Trump coalition splitting apart, or?
But it's not even splitting. Like we saw with the Thomas Massie shit, it seems like he still very much has a grip on MAGA.
He does, but like the actual, yeah, but like the disapproval is raising. It's not going to be like a huge thing, but like as it starts to fracture the edges, like MTG leaving was a big deal.
Disapproval among independents and Democrats, yes. His approval among, I think, Republicans was like 90% in the polls I've seen.
I think his approval is high, but I think I'm vibing this hard. I think his approval is high, but I think that it will be, I think that his approval is high, but I think that, my mind just got fucked by a thing on my other monitor. But the like the enthusiasm, I think, will be down. So it'll be like they still, you know, support him and approve of him, but the likelihood of them showing up the polls, like being excited to be a Trump voter, that would be like my...
Right, yeah,
I'm so vibing that. That's my vibe feel.
I would normally agree, but I don't know. We'll see. The Thomas Massie shit seemed pretty crazy, but they did put the most money into it than any other election, I guess, before.
Sure.
And he wasn't even on the ballot. They showed the fuck out.
Okay. We're watching this. It's old. Okay. Fill your hearts. This powerful black man.
Earlier today, one thing we talked about was civic engagement. And a line you used in your State of the Union address of don't give in to the cynicism of the day.
Right.
Poll released by Reuters yesterday showed that nearly half of Americans feel that the elections are rigged in some way. Is there any goal or plan for the administration to help revitalize the faith in democracy that is seeming to be lacking?
Well, you know what? This is something that I've tried to do ever since I got into public office. As you know, I came into this work as a community organizer and strongly believe that our democracy only works when people participate. You know, there are a lot of forces that feed cynicism. And there's no dispute that our democracy is not working as well as it should. I can tell you some of the reasons for that. One of it is that we have set up a system for electing state legislatures and members of Congress that involve the drawing of district lines that are gerrymandered. For those of you who are unfamiliar with the phrase, it basically means that those who are already in power draw the maps in such a way where they can be assured that these are either going to be Democratic seats or Republican seats. And what that's done is it's made very few seats competitive. So, for example, in the last election in 2012, Democrats actually cast substantially more votes in congressional elections, but ended up with substantially fewer seats. And the reason for that is in 2010, when the census was done and redistricting of congressional and House legislative seats were drawn, Republican governors and Republican majorities were responsible for drawing most of the seats. Now, you know, I want to be clear, Democrats aren't blameless on this either. But California, for example, has gone to a process of nonpartisan districting. The advantage there is not only do you make more seats competitive, but it also means that politicians have to compete for everybody's votes because they're not in safe seats. They're not in a safely Republican district or Democratic district. And what that does is it means they've got to not just appeal to the extremes of their party. Part of the reason we've seen polarization and gridlock here in Washington is because there's been this great sorting, and Democrats have moved much further, have moved left. Republicans have just gone way to the right. And it's harder then to compromise because members of Congress, and this same thing is true in state legislatures, are always looking over their shoulders, seeing if somebody in their own party might challenge them. And then the system doesn't work. So that's a big chunk of why people are cynical, because they feel like their votes don't count. And if you draw districts that are ironclad one party or another, then they're not entirely wrong. Another reason that people are cynical is money in politics. The Supreme Court issued a ruling, Citizens United, that allowed super PACs and very wealthy individuals to just finance all these ads that you guys see on TV all the time. Half the time, nobody knows who's funding them. And that makes you cynical, partly because most of this money is spent on negative ads. And so you're just hearing constantly how horrible everybody is. That'll make you feel pretty bad about the political process. And I'm a strong believer in finding ways in which we can make the financing of campaigns more democratic. Now, we've seen some interesting work being done. You've got to give Bernie Sanders, for example, credit, building off some of the work that I did. I, in turn, built off the work that Howard Dean did for smaller donations, grassroots donors, to be able, in small contributions, to allow candidates to be competitive. But I think that we don't want to leave that to chance. And that's much harder to do for members of Congress who are lower profile, so they don't get the sort of viral presence that allows them to raise that kind of money to compete. So we're going to have to solve money in politics. You, as journalists, are going to have a role to play in reducing sentences. It is very hard to get good stories placed. People will assign you stories about what's not working. It's very hard for you to write a story about, wow, this thing really works good. And just to take the federal government as an example, every day I've got 2 million people who work for the federal government, whether in our military, our law enforcement, our environmental protection, helping veterans, et cetera, and they are doing great work. And you rely on it in all kinds of ways, including when you check the weather, because you can thank the National Weather Service for putting satellites up so your smartphones tell you whether to bring an umbrella or not. But we just take that for granted. And if out of those 2 million employees, one person screws up somewhere, which every day you can count on somebody out of 2 million people probably doing something they shouldn't be doing, that's what's going to get reported on. Now, that helps keep government on its toes and accountable. But one of the things we have to think about is how do we tell a story about the things we do together that actually work, so that people don't feel so cynical overall. But look, here's the bottom line, is that let's take the political process. As cynical as everybody is, and everybody's always trying to come up with these radical new plans to try to fix our democracy, and we need to do this and we need to do that. The truth is that part of the reason why our government doesn't work as well is because in a good presidential year, slightly more than half the people vote who are eligible, and the other half don't. And during an off-year election, when the president's not at the top of the ticket and people aren't getting as much attention, 40% of the people vote. Now, this system doesn't work if people opt out. And the easiest cure, the simplest cure for what ails our democracy is everybody voting. Now, it's true that there's some states that purposely make it hard for people to vote. We're the only major democracy in the world that actively makes it hard for people to vote. And so you should be, particularly as in your student newspapers, as you go back to your home states, you should be asking, why is it that we have laws that are purposely making it harder for people to vote, purposely making it harder for young people to vote? And there's a political agenda there. The people in power don't want things to change. They want cynicism, because obviously the existing system, as frustrating as it is for everybody else, works for them. Well, if you want to upend that, we got to vote. But even in those states that purposely make it harder to vote, the truth of the matter is, on your college campuses, half the folks, maybe two-thirds of the folks who don't vote because they're just not paying attention. They don't consider it important. And they're not willing to take the 15 minutes or half hour that it takes to make sure that you're registered and make sure you actually vote. Well, if you care about climate change, you care about college costs, you care about career opportunities, you care about war and peace and refugees, you can't just complain. You got to vote. And what's interesting is young people, as a voting bloc, are the least likely to vote. But
the most
when you do vote,
just kidding,
have the biggest impact on elections. During a presidential year, young people account for like 19% of the total vote. During an off-year election, when folks aren't paying as much attention, they account for 12%. And that means that the kinds of candidates that get elected and the priorities that they reflect are entirely different, just based on whether or not you guys are going to the polls. So don't let people tell you that what you do doesn't matter. It does. Don't give away your power. That should be the main message that you deliver all the time. And it doesn't matter, you know, whether it's you're Republican, Democrat, Independent, whether you're conservative on some issues, liberal on others. If you participate and you take the time to be informed about the issues and you actually turn out and your peers turn out, you change the country. You do. It may not always happen as fast as you'd like, but you'll change it. So I'll keep on talking about this even after I leave the presidency. This is, you got me started. I went on a rant, didn't I? All right. So I'm counting on you guys. Don't let me down. All right. Don't let the country down. You guys are going to be delivering the message to your peer group that this is the greatest country on earth, but only because we have great citizens who are willing to invest their time and energy and effort to become informed on the issues, to argue about it in a respectful way, and to try to collectively solve the many challenges that we face. The good news is
that the there are no suit, though?
Challenges, as JFK said, that man creates that man can't solve. I would add women to that.
All right. Wow.
Good luck, guys. Bye-bye.
What about what?
What about the tan suit?
True. And the Dijon. Well.